Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Water Lane Church this morning, and welcome to anyone who's visiting us today, parents of children who might be in the holiday club, and welcome to anyone listening to recording of this service later on. There will be coffee served as normal in the coffee lounge after the service. The children are in their Paddington 2 holiday club at the moment. They'll be joining us a bit later on to let us know what they've been up to. And the only additional notice is a reminder about the 7:30 p.m. service here this evening, which Katie is leading. It's a mindful church service, which is a quiet, reflective service with music, art and meditation. So everyone's welcome to that. And now I'd just like to hand over to Katie to lead the rest of the service. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Just some news to share with you. I've been asked to let you know that Chris and Celia Legg are going to be moving to Sunrise in Moberly, and they'd welcome any visitors to meet them there. Also, Eileen Pearce has moved into Sunrise Moberly as well this week, after the death of her husband, Eddie. So please keep Eileen in your prayers, and Chris and Celia as they move too. Going to worship God, singing, "Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here." To invite you to read with me words from Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and those who live in it, for he has founded it on the seas and established it on the rivers. The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it. Amen. The choir is going to sing for us a song based upon those words, and there shall be some images of the beauty of God's earth on the screen as they sing. Creator God, everywhere we see the awesome work of your hand, the beauty of your infinite creativity. You made the heavens and the earth, the land and the sea. You created darkness and light, years and seasons, an extravagance of plants and trees, huge beasts and tiny organisms, and all that is needed for the health of the earth. Out of your goodness, all of this was made. By your Spirit, all life is sustained and renewed. You created us in your own image. You inspire us to paint and sculpt, create music, film, dance, and poetry. From you come science, technology, and medical progress. An overabundance of all that we need to thrive. As we rejoice in the beauty of this awesome world and marvel at the infinite creativity of human endeavour, remind us that it is out of your goodness that we are made, and by your Spirit that our life is sustained and renewed. Gracious God, giver of all good things, source of all goodness, we are blessed by your goodness overflowing all around us. Kindle in our hearts the love of your name. Nourish in us all that is good. May our actions match your purpose of goodness, and may your word find a place in our hearts, so that the fruit of goodness will take root, flourish, and grow in our lives. When we are quick to judge, help us to show kindness. When we insist on our own way, show us patience. When our hope and trust fade, show us the joy of living by the truth. God of all loving, fill us with your healing spirit of forgiveness. Fill us with your spirit that we may do all things in love and see all through the eyes of your love. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our offering will now be received, and we'll wait for the children to come and join us. Gracious God, we thank you for the abundance of your love, for calling us to be your family in this place. Accept these gifts and the offering of our lives that they might be used to share your love and glory with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, can any of you tell the congregation what are you going to be watching and doing today? Yes?
A bear.
Watching something about a bear. And does that bear have a name? Yeah?
Paddington.
Yeah, Paddington Bear. Now, some of us, yes, Paddington Bear 2, that's right. Because I think it was last year or a year ago. How long ago was it? Oh, 3 years ago we had Holiday Club and we watched Paddington 1. And some of you might remember the clips from Paddington, who'd made it all the way on a boat from Peru with a whole stash of marmalade to keep him going. And then he found himself in this huge city, but fortunately was welcomed into the family. Does anybody know the surname of the family? Yes? Yeah, the Brown family. Now, Mr. Brown initially wasn't too impressed, was he, having this bear in his house? Can you remember that when Paddington first went to use the bathroom, it all went slightly wrong? There was a little bit of a flood, and he ended up coming down the stairs in the bath with a river of water. So initially, Mr. Brown wasn't too impressed about having a bear. But, you know, eventually, all of the Browns... Oh, and actually the daughter. What's the daughter's name?
Judy.
Judy. She wasn't too impressed because she didn't think it was very cool until he managed to chase a robber and hit the headlines and he was a star, and then he was okay. But eventually they completely fell for Paddington. They fell in love with him and they welcomed him. And that's where we start off now with. We're going to watch the first two clips. This is our first clip about Paddington, who's now very much at home with the Brown family.
I hope all is well in the home for retired bears. Life in London has been better than ever this summer. I've really got to grips with how things work. And it seems there's something new to do every day.
Guess what, Patterson? The steam fair's coming to town. I'm going along tonight to write about it in my newspaper.
Who's going to want to read about that?
Everyone. We'll travel the world in an old steam train. I thought you'd love it.
I did. Don't tell anyone, okay? Not cool.
And yoga.
Good idea.
Oh, there's a dab hand at coconut tray. Where's our brownies for him?
Well, not anymore. Coconuts are a young man's game.
Well, I think you're in great shape for a man your age, Mr. Brown.
Ah, thank you, Patterson. Hang on, how old is it now?
Four.
About 80? 80? Please.
Just a minute, young bear.
What taught you to wash your head every year?
Well, then I did, Mrs. Bird. I wonder how that got in there. I really feel at home in Windsor Gardens.
Bonjour, mademoiselle.
Good morning, Patterson.
I brought you breakfast.
Thank you. Your sandwich is always a mere move.
Morning, Dr. Jacket. You haven't put on your peas, have you?
Yes.
Cheers.
Well, of course.
Thank you, Patterson.
You're welcome.
Glorious day, Colonel.
Is it?
Oh,
absolutely
thrilling.
How was your
day,
Miss Kitt?
Well, it wasn't the one
that we
ever say.
I can't wait to
ever
say.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Morning, Paddington.
Morning, Mr. Barnes.
Hi, Paddington.
Come on, Mademoiselle.
Right. Text me.
What's the quickest way from Baker Street to Big Ben?
Ah, an easy one.
Shall we walk the square? Everyone has been so kind and welcoming. Even though it hurts, is he? Mrs. Brown is planning to swim to France. It seems an awful lot of hard work when you can go by boat or plane or even train, but that's not the point. She's been cooped up all summer illustrating a series of adventure stories and has decided she wants one of her own.
Woo-hoo!
Judy has been suffering from a broken heart.
I don't. I think you'll find your dunce, Tony.
Her first reaction was to become a nun, but she soon got over that and has thrown herself into a new hobby. She found an old printing press at school and is starting a newspaper with no voice.
Now all we need is news.
big school this year. We spent the holidays building a fully working steam engine. But I'm not supposed to talk about that, as it's not cool. He's got a whole new look, and if anyone asks, he's now called Jamie Dog, and he's definitely not into steam trains. But Mr. Brown has been busy as of all. He recently had a surprise at work.
I am delighted to announce our new head of risk analysis will be Mr. Steve Bisbee.
And this is probably what Mrs. Burke calls a full-blown midlife crisis. It involves blending his food, painting his hair, and engaging in a process called chakrabatics.
Open your mind and your legs will fall.
Thank you, Madison.
Keep up the good
work. Oh, I'm missing. You sent me to London to find a home, and it's worked out better than I ever imagined. I have a wonderful family, and have made friends in all sorts of places. Well, there you go, Wolfie. But I do hope if you could see me, you'd be pleased. Lots of love from Paddington.
Mr. Brown, come in. I just had a visit from Madame Costa, who runs the fair.
Oh, yes.
They were having a clear out and found all these old crates stuffed full with every meter. They thought they'd be lost forever. She asked me if I would send for them while they're in town, and it struck me there might be something in here for your auntie's birthday.
Oh, good idea.
Ah, look at this.
It's very nice, Mr. Groover, but...
I know, it has to be perfect.
Oh, since Uncle Pasquier's died, I'm the only relative she's got left. And it isn't only their fair turns a 100.
Quite so. Ah! How about these rolling shoes?
Please, Mr. Groover, be serious.
Perhaps your aunt is rolling these up behind her.
I think you might be right. Oh, what's this?
Ah, that must be the popping book. Very interesting.
Really?
You see, Madame Costa's great-grandmother, who started the fair, was also a brilliant artist. And every time they visited a new city, she made a popping book to remember it by.
So, Paddington adopted into the Brown family, feeling really at home and making a big difference to other people. And then he discovers this book. But actually, it costs a lot of money, so he starts a new job. So we're going to watch a little bit of his new job to try and earn some money.
He's keeping it to one side for me, but I really need a job. I don't suppose you have any advice, do you?
No. I imagine you just have to start at the bottom of the ladder and work your way up.
Do you know what, Mr. Buchanan? You've just given me the most brilliant idea ever. I'm going to be a window cleaner.
Thank you. catch up with them anyway.
Going to be wanting to join you for the rest of the day because that's just installment number one.
With the children, but we're just doing it for this morning, and obviously it's based on Paddington 2, and there's such good themes that come out of the movie that we're going to be looking at. And one of them came across, I think, in that opening sequence where Paddington doesn't judge anybody. He makes friends with everyone, looks for the good in everybody, wants to help everyone, and shows great integrity. Even when the colonel says, I'm not going to pay you, I'm not going to give you money for cleaning my windows, he said, that's okay, I'm going to clean them anyway because I think they need doing. So we're going to be looking at themes like that, about not judging and about unconditional love, about how Paddington adopted into the Brown family and they just love him unconditionally. So anyway, we'll leave you to get on with the rest of the service. The children and I are going to go. Oh, it's saying for the song.
Going to sing now, reflecting on the fact that Paddington's adopted into the Brown family. We celebrate and give thanks for the fact that we are adopted into God's family. And we're going to sing, Father God, I wonder, you know, what would happen if you hadn't, you know, welcomed me that way? And we're going to sing his praises. And there's some flags here and instruments if anybody wants to join in. Thank you.
I'm not afraid.
wonderful time this morning. We'll just say a prayer before you go to continue. Gracious God, we thank you for the fun of a film that can teach and share so much. And we ask your blessing upon the children and on the young people today, that they might have lots of fun with the team and continue to learn of your love. Bless them, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Go and have lots of fun. And if any of the adults try and join you, just send them back in here. Thank you. Give an introduction before the Ephesians one. Just to say, wasn't that a wonderful clip? But one of the bits I really like is when Paddington doesn't care about the money. He's going to clean the Colonel's dirty windows anyway, but just brings complete light, you know, into his life. And our first passage from John's Gospel, you know, talks about that light shining into our lives. Thank you.
The first 14 verses of John's Gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of the world, of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe in through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. Amen.
Today's lectionary reading of the letter, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, is the start of the letter introducing it. It sets the foundations for why we should follow Jesus Christ, explaining that it's through Christ that we're chosen to be God's children and adopted into the family of the church. It explains that it is through Jesus Christ that we're blessed with lavish grace and spiritual blessings, and through him that we experience forgiveness and the gift of salvation.
It's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, and he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace that he has lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we who were the first to set our hope on Christ might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and have believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance towards redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory.
Paul, I think, tries to put so much into every verse that actually the more I read it, I began to think, oh, this is more complicated than I thought. But I'm going to read it to you again, but from the Message Bible, that tries to make its message a bit more accessible. How blessed is God, and what a blessing he is. He is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and takes us to the high places of blessing in him. Long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure he took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift-giving by the hand of his beloved Son. Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we're a free people, free of penalties and punishments chalked up by our misdeeds. And not just barely free either, abundantly free. He thought of everything, provided for everything we could possibly need, letting us in on the plans he took such delight in making. He set it all out before us in Christ, a long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up in him, everything in deepest heaven, everything on planet Earth. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. It is in Christ that you once heard the truth and believed it, this message of your salvation. Found yourselves home, free, signed, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Spirit. This signet from God is the first installment of what's coming. A reminder that we'll get everything God has planned for us, a praising and glorious life. Paul is writing from prison, writing a letter of praise to the God who sets us free, because he realized he was freer than he had ever been in his life, despite being in prison, but freed from sin and guilt, his past, set free for Christ. He invites us in our mind's eye to go back to the beginning of creation, to the beginning of time. And this, another even shorter summary of that passage that helps set its context. In the very, very beginning, before there was anything at all, God imagined what this universe would be like, how in Christ the spiritual blessings of heaven would become visible to us all. You and I were imagined from the very beginning, in the heart of God, and chosen to become God's adopted children. Through Christ's bodily life, his lived actions in flesh and blood, our sense of separateness from God, sin, is overcome. In the fullness of time, with wisdom and insight, God imagined God's very life and love gathering and holding the whole universe in being. A living organism of infinite variety and interconnectedness. This life force of God is made visible in all the physical world around us, in you and in me, gathering all things together in Christ. Christ empowers us to live with joy and thanks and thankfulness to praise Christ's glory. Going to sing a prayer which invites God to help us reflect on that word. Speak, O Lord, as we come to you. Story. There was once a king who had no son and longed for an heir to succeed him to the throne. So he posted a notice inviting young men to apply to be considered for adoption into his family and to become his heir. All that he asked of the applicants was that they should love God and love their neighbour. A poor peasant boy saw the notice, but he thought that he'd have no chance of becoming adopted by the king because of the ragged clothes he wore. So he worked very hard until he had just enough money to buy a new set of clothes. Wearing his new clothes, he set off to the royal palace to apply for the position of the king's adopted son. Now, as he was journeying towards the palace, the boy met a homeless man on the road. The old man was shivering with cold, and the boy felt sorry for him and exchanged clothes with him. As he was now back to wearing his ragged clothes, it seemed hardly worth going on to the palace. However, having come so far already, the boy decided to keep going and at least see the king's palace from the outside. When he arrived, he was greeted by scornful laughter and sneering remarks by the king's courtiers. Nevertheless, he was finally admitted into the presence of the king. there was something strangely familiar about the king. At first, the boy couldn't work out what it was and why he felt so at home in his presence. Then he realized that the king himself was wearing the clothes that he had given to the old man just a few hours ago along the road. The king came down from his throne and embraced the boy, holding him close in his arms. "Welcome, my son," he said. I really like that story. I like the story for the fact that it is his goodness and his love that's recognized more than any finery or skills. And it's because of that that he is adopted as the king's son. But when I reflected on it, I thought, well, there are similarities to some of the points in the history and the context of our reading. But the message of Paul, the message of John, says something that our core identity as children of God has been there from the beginning of time. Our core identity doesn't actually need to be earned, and it's not dependent on external practices of how good or kind or compassionate or generous we are. It is simply as it is. We are accepted and loved and valued and welcomed as children of God, entirely independently of how we are. Having been adopted and welcomed and loved, we're then invited to respond by such acts of grace and kindness and compassion. It's what I like about the words of our baptism service, when about 10 or 20 years ago, you know, the order of the service was changed so that a child is baptized and then the parent makes their promises. It's the baptism is a gift of being welcomed into the family of God. It's not dependent on how good the parents might be in keeping their promises. The gift comes first. The promises are our response to God's love and grace. A few of my friends have adopted children. It's just the most beautiful gift, isn't it, to adopt a child and create a new home for them. One of my friends was accepted after panels and all sorts of interviews, a hugely long process, was accepted to be eligible to adopt a child. And she's now in the months-long process of waiting to be matched. And I know that she already loves that child. She prays for that child and has love in her heart for that child that she has yet to meet. And that for me says something about what Paul is saying here, that long before, long before we were here, God loved us and welcomed us and we were on his hearts. Adoption, though, didn't exist in Jewish culture, probably because of large extended families that just naturally looked after, you know, any children who were without parents and just incorporated into the family. But adoption did exist in Roman culture. But it was more similar to that story, and it was about the emperors adopting people rather than it being a standard practice among families. It was something that the Caesars did. For pleasure and for joy, they would adopt someone as a son so that they could receive a grand inheritance. Adopted, you became an equal heir with the other children of the emperor. It was a way of gifting somebody. Coming from that culture, St. Paul uses the term adoption to express the delight and pleasure that God takes in calling us his children, choosing us to lavish grace upon with joy. He uses it to show that we are heirs with the inheritance of God's kingdom. You know, one of the differences to that Roman adoption is this passage is saying that the adoption is for all people. In that passage, John, you know, shares Jesus' words that for all who received and believed, he gave the right to be children of God. It's as simple as that. Simply to receive Jesus, to believe in Jesus, you are regarded as children of God. In Genesis, it says that we were created in the image and likeness of God. Richard Rohr talks about that image of God as being the, you know, divine DNA that's imprinted on us, that we're created with that inherent image of God within us. But likeness is something that we perhaps have to work at to personally and gradually, you know, adopt into our lives. And I'll come back to that in a moment. Adoptionism was a huge thing in the early church. It's repeated, you know, within the letters. We hear in Romans that those who are led by the Spirit are children of God. That the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God and so co-heirs. In Galatians, we hear that through Jesus, we receive rights of children to be the children of God, brings with it rights. You know, later on, it became less important. Justification of faith, the fact that faith is sufficient, became a big issue for the church, and adoptionism was sort of left behind. But initially it was really important because people felt that faith was something that they inherited. I guess it still stands today. I had a lady in a previous church that didn't want to become made a member because her mother, who had died many years ago, would frown on it because she was an Anglican. And that sense of, I can't do that because, you know, there's something about, you know, faith is, you know, what I've inherited from family. And, you know, in the early church, it was really important because people believed that, you know, the Jews were children of God, that they had been the ones liberated, you know, from the, you know, in the Exodus, that they had been set free. Abraham was their father, and therefore they were the family. And the early church teachers had to again and again say, just like a friend had to say to his new adopted son, this is your house, this is your family, these are your things, you are part of us. The early church had to keep saying to people, it doesn't matter whether you were a Jew or Gentile, whether you're slave or free, whatever your background, you are welcomed into the family of God. So what does it mean to be children of God? I guess as children, we inherit the qualities and characteristics of our parents, some by nature, some by nurture, perhaps. I think, yeah, got my asthma from my granddad, got my bad eyesight from my mum, and terrible memory for words from my dad. But hopefully also perhaps a few of their better traits too. We inherit characteristics, traits from our parents. And as I said, by nurture we acquire their habits. I still peg out my washing as my grandma taught me in exactly that way. I find myself doing something in the kitchen, like, oh yeah, my mum does it that way. We do things because we adopt the characteristics of our parents. And there's something about being recognized as adopted children of God, that we have the capacity or the potential to let the characteristics of God flourish within us. Characteristics of God seen in so many of the stories that Jesus told, of generosity, of being non-judgmental, patient, gracious, kind, compassionate, to have peace and forgiveness in our hearts. That those are capacities which are inherent within us if we choose to let them flourish within us. The gift of God's Holy Spirit, a sign of our inheritance. And we're encouraged to pray each day that we might be full of the grace and the truth of God. Always learning, always growing, never in isolation, but together as a family. As children of God, we have the rights of children in Galatians, it says. But, you know, the rights of children were mainly to inherit the father's work. You know, Jesus became a carpenter as his father had been a carpenter. And as children of God, our inheritance is to take on the work of the Father, to work in accordance with the Father's will. Paul says in this passage to the Ephesians that the mystery of his will is to bring all things in heaven and on earth together in Christ. It's what we pray in the Lord's Prayer, that the qualities of heaven may become the qualities on earth. That the love and the grace of God and the justice and the peace of God will become our work here on earth, so that earth itself may fulfill God's promises. Paul sets out the big picture, that from time this was the plan, that the whole of creation would mirror and echo God's love and grace and glory. And we are called and equipped to be part of it. And we're called to stand up to those examples of life which do not reflect God's love and goodness and grace. I spotted a friend from a past church in my newspaper. She was standing outside of the US embassy protesting against Trump. I was surprised, I didn't know that she was going to be there. And I've heard others from other churches that went on those protests. Now, signs, the placards holding up saying, "We hate you, go home," don't say very much to me. But those that were saying, actually, "We choose love. You know, we choose peace. We stand against, you know, prejudice. We stand against bigotry. We stand against exclusion that speaks against people of race or disability. You know, we stand for love. We stand for truth. We stand for goodness." I was impressed how many people wanted to stand up and say, "We choose love. We stand for love." There's a lovely passage which I'll share with you from a Dominican sister who was also a scientist and very much still loves that combination of science and faith. Richard Rohr quotes her when reflecting on that call to be created in the image and likeness of God. "The image of God imprinted within us. But the likeness of God is something that we choose and ask for and work at so that we might have the mind of Christ." That call for love to be at the heart of creation is something that she reflects on. As Sister Ilia Delio says so well, Christian life is a commitment to love, to give birth to God in one's own life, and to become midwives of divinity in this evolving cosmos. We are to be whole makers of love in a world of change. Teilhard de Chardin, saw that creativity and invention would forge the modern path of evolution. But he also saw that science alone cannot fulfill the cosmic longing for completion. God rises up at the heart of cosmic evolution through the power of love, which science and technology can facilitate but not surpass. The future of the earth, therefore, lies not in science and technology, but in the spiritual power of world religions and the power of love. We are born out of love. We exist in love. and we are destined for eternal love. It's time to reinvent ourselves in love. We give thanks for love at the very heart of creation. We give thanks that we're called to be part of the family of love. We celebrate that gift. Going to sing in a moment, all my days I will sing this song of gladness, echoing some of the words of praise. How blessed is God, and what a blessing is he. Not just barely free, but abundantly free. We're part of the plan to bring everything together in love for Christ. It is him who we are living for. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you that we are part of your family that meets in this place. We pray for those members of our family moving to new homes, some temporarily, some permanently. We especially pray that Chris and Celia and Eileen will soon feel settled in Sunrise and receive the love and care that they need in that place. We pray for families who are bereaved, and we especially pray for Eileen and all of the family as they mourn Eddie. We also pray for Pat and her family as they mourn Tom. We ask that they might know your comfort and peace, your love enfolding each of them at this time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for children who are adopted or fostered, that they will find the love and security that they need. We pray for all those going through the process, seeking to adopt or to foster. Bless them, we pray. We pray for social workers and organisations that work to bring families together. May love and deep understanding guide their steps. We pray for parents who have difficult choices to make for their families. Be in their thoughts and decision making. Bless them, we pray. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, Lord, for our own families. We pray for those who we know to be struggling. We pray for your healing, peace and reconciliation where there is discord. We give thanks for bonds of love that give us the strength that we need to face the decisions that we have to make each day. We thank you for the blessing of family and for those who are like family to us. We pray for those who've yet to find their purpose in life, for whom there is struggle, for those who are living with anxiety and uncertainty. We ask that you will bless those who live each day seeking hope and a new way forward. Bless them, we pray. God of truth and love, we pray for wisdom to have a true understanding of the world, courage to stand up against injustice and greed, courage to stand up for truth and goodness. We pray for all the leaders of the world that they might use their positions of power to rule for justice and with compassion. We pray that there might be peace in areas of discord and pray for all who are working for that peace to become reality. All these things we pray in Jesus' name, and we join those prayers as we join in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Our final hymn is one that speaks of God's power and truth and grace, and the call to unity through his name. May we go with the blessing of God. May we go with his love and peace and joy. The blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.